to Plot Twist, I Forgot. I am Davin.
I'm Laura.
And are you ready? Because it is finally October. It's our time to shine. We have risen like Jack Skellington from wherever he comes out of in that gif and in the movie. And we're here. We're ready.
It's time. It's finally time. I've been excited for like 3 months.
Yes.
I had to be stopped from decorating in July.
Okay. Oh, so I realized I never finished part of my story about that from, I think, our September episode.
Four weeks ago, decorating.
Yeah, 4 weeks ago. Because when I moved into this apartment, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't have to, like, obviously, like, I had a roommate, so I was respectful of, like, not leaving out all my decorations, because she's not, like, super into Halloween that much as we are. And now, not all of them, but a good chunk of my Halloween decorations are just normal decor now, so I don't even know what I have to put up, but the Halloween store near me is open, so I'm ready to visit Spirit.
I've already been to Home Goods.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few other places that I want to go. I'm trying not to buy a lot this year because we're going to Italy We're going to Italy now.
Oh, and I forgot. So yeah. Lucky.
And so I'm trying to save money.
Good for you. I think I'm not going to go too crazy, but every year my friends and I do a Halloween craft. So I know we're going to be doing that this year. And then I saw this on Instagram and I want to do it because I have like, above my kitchen island where my sink is, there's kind of like enough of a lip where it's also a bar and there's the lighting, and I want to do hanging witch hats, like floating witch hats.
Very cute.
I think I can only fit two, but I wanted to do it last year. You know what? I so lied. I do want to go get decorations because last year they had a Halloween door decorating competition and I couldn't do it because I was going out of town for a wedding and I didn't have time to like do all the things. So I'm hoping this year they do it so I can win.
That's fun.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But obviously, if you couldn't tell, we're talking all things spooky this month with our pick and our recommendations. Because who would we be if not to tell you what we're planning to read this spooky season, as if you care?
Our recommendations this month are more of our Halloween TBR.
Yes, it's a better way. It's what we are hoping to read this season.
My goal.
Yes, it is.
There are too many books on this list.
I know. As I was putting mine together, I was like, ooh, this is a lot. Like, we'll see. We'll see. And one of them, I have to reread the first book because a sequel is coming out. So that adds another book to my list, which I'm very excited. So, so excited for. We'll see if you can guess it when we get there.
I can't.
I don't think you read the first one, so I would actually be surprised if... I mean, maybe you will. Maybe you will. Do you want to tell the people what we are reading this month?
We are going to read Slewfoot by Brom.
By Brom, which if you've... You know it if you've seen the cover. This cover is gorgeous. It's always on Instagram. And I'm excited.
The artwork's really pretty.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, this is one where obviously we are huge audiobook fans here, or this podcast would not happen if we couldn't do audiobooks to like get through our picks.
1000% true.
But this one, I think you have to read it because I haven't looked through it, but I think there's artwork throughout the book too.
There is artwork throughout the book. And so, yes, own a physical copy. However, I have heard that the audio is great.
Oh, is it? I haven't heard anyone talk about that, so that's good to know.
A podcast I listen to, like one of their commercials is for the listening service that shall not be named. And they said that this is one of the books that they listen to and that the narration is amazing.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that might be worth checking out as well. But I definitely think I'm probably going to try to read this with eyes, I think, which will make the rest of my list very hard. But we'll see.
My goal is to read my physical copy. One, because I've had it for 3 years. When did you come to Chicago?
Oh, gosh.
2022?
Yeah, I think so.
I think I bought it
then. Did you buy it then when we went to that bookstore?
I think I did, yeah.
What such great books were bought? Because I bought Mary, my first Nat Cassidy book, which was such an A-plus pick. Mm-hmm. I know I bought another one when I went there, too. I got a couple.
Lamb on the cover.
Oh, Lapvana.
Yep.
That's right. I need to read. That one sounds really bizarre. We'll see. We'll see. But a synopsis for anyone who doesn't know, Slewfoot, A Tale of Bewitchery, is about a spirited young English woman, Abitha, who arrives at a Puritan colony betrothed to a stranger, only to quickly become widowed when her husband dies under mysterious circumstances. That's not good for her. Nope. All alone in this pious and patriarchal society, Abitha
Boo.
Fights for what little...
Sorry.
Boo, patriarchy. She's fighting for what little freedom she can grasp onto while also trying to stay true to herself and her past. Enter Slewfoot, a powerful spirit of antiquity newly woken and trying to find his own role in the world. Healer or destroyer, protector or predator, but as the shadows walk and villagers start dying, a new rumor is whispered. Witch. Both Abitha and Slewfoot must swiftly decide who they are and what they must do to survive in a world intent on hanging on or hanging any who meddle in the dark arts. So
I feel a good for her coming on.
Oh, I hope so. We have been so blessed with very good for her books, I feel like, this year. I would be curious in a separate chat to hear what you thought. I know one we were excited for was What Hunger. So maybe we'll have to do a follow-up of just specifically good for her books that we have read since our last good for her episode, because I know, knowing us, we had one, and I just don't remember what the main book would have been for that. Anyways.
What Hunger? I don't know. Right. Anyway, witches.
Witches.
Yeah, I know we did witches in September, but this is a very different vein.
Yes.
So I'm pretty excited, and I've had it forever, and I love like a 1600s witch story, like the Year of the Witching. Like I love that.
Uh-huh.
Like back in time, no electricity. Like I like a modern witch story, but back when witches really, really did make pacts with the devil, you know? They went out and they found a man with a goat head in the forest.
And they were like, yes, I will do your bidding.
My husband
don't care.
Sucks.
So let's go murder some people,
including
him.
Help me
kill
him. Yes.
That's what I think is so fun about witch stories, is that you could go on two totally ends of the spectrum and in between, and no matter what, usually it's really good. Like, obviously there's like witchy funny like rom-com books, and then there's like the cozy witch stories that also have a little
love
more
it.
Teeth, like Practical Magic, and then which more photos keep coming out. I think there's
I
a new
know.
Photo, and I'm like, give it to me now. Like, you don't understand. I'm so excited.
I'm very excited.
Then you have like dark stuff like this, and like you said, a Year of the Witching, and it's just like
it's all good.
So good.
I want
you
it all.
You can't go wrong.
I want every facet of the witch genre, from cozy to like eating children.
Eating, yes,
Men would be better. You're right. You were gonna say men.
I was
we should
say
eat men
eating
instead
men.
Of children. But I would also read that book. Whatever.
Oh, I mean, if it, they're eating, yeah, same. I would also
There's
read that
a
book.
Reason.
I would also.
I'm sure that kid was a dick.
he anyway. Probably had it coming. Oh, goodness. Okay.
Before we get into our picks,
yes.
Would you like to play a game?
I would. Okay. Why am I Jigsaw? There it is. I was going to call you
yes.
Jigsaw.
Okay. Yes. You had a game last time, and so I have a game, and I might have too many, but that's okay. Before we go into... I got some would you rather questions for
Ooh,
you.
Okay.
But before we go into that, in honor of horror season, I want to know which classic slasher villain do you think you could survive?
Michael Myers.
Yeah. That's the one.
Easy. That's the only one.
I sat thinking about it and I was like, Jason runs. He's going to get me. I love
okay,
to sleep.
Okay, but no, wait. Which Jason, though? Because you have Jason up until... 7.
Jason and his mom.
No, 7 and earlier, I think I could survive. 7 after, absolutely not. I'm getting decapitated like in 2 seconds.
So like, I wouldn't be at the summer camp.
So first off, I can't catch me there.
I think I would be okay, because I would be like, bugs outside, the sun, lakes, no.
This sounds terrible. Thank
you don't have flush toilets, I'm not coming. So I think I would be safe there. Michael Myers, I could survive because he walks. I won't underestimate him, and I'm not Laurie Strode. So he's not really interested in me anyway.
No, and honestly, I think if you just arm yourself with the right weapon, right? Like, obviously, we can't use guns in this scenario because that's too easy. I feel like you kind of have two options because he's so far away. You can makeshift your own flame launcher with hairspray and a lighter.
Yeah, I would.
We're
blow
lighting
myself
people
up.
On fire.
Yeah.
No, we're gonna do it. I would 100% do it and just figure out the consequences after and deal with my 5-degree burns. Yeah. Or you have to get a really long, like a machete, and try to take him out.
Stick a spear.
A spear. I don't know if I trust myself to like get the job done with a spear. I need something with a little more oomph.
Yeah.
Hence the flamethrower.
So. No, I think that would go really well for you. But yeah, I think not. That's it. Because like saw, I'm just dying. I'm not doing it. Follow a man's directions. No.
So you would just die out of stubbornness. You're okay, you could kill me.
I'm gonna die out of spite. That's
die
it.
Out of spite. Yes,
Freddie. I love to sleep. There's no way I'm surviving that. I'm dead. I'm 100%. The first death.
Yes. What about Pinhead?
No. 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 No, absolutely not. And then, like, the Scream movie franchise, I would overthink it and end up getting my head chopped off by a garage door.
What about Texas Chainsaw? Leatherface?
I don't know.
I mean, maybe. I think there's a plus side, right? Like, Michael Myers is obviously a good answer, but if you were stuck with him or Jason, you just got to pull out the mommy complex stuff. Like, that's how she got him in two, was wearing the mom's sweater and was like, no, Jason, don't do it. Woohoo. Yeah. I'm your mom. And she lived.
I think there's a way out of those. But if I had to pick which one, it's definitely Michael.
Oh, 100%. Like, that's the easiest. Chucky would be funny. I mean, honestly, no, Chucky, you just kick him. Punt him. Bye.
Get away.
There is that reel where it was just like, punt that mother effer. Like, that was it. So, you know, that
kick
one.
Kick the doll away.
Kick the doll away. Exactly.
Yeah, maybe.
Michael's still the safest answer, though. He's the easiest to get away from.
Yep. All right. So now some actual would you rathers. And most of them are based off books that we've read. Would you rather spend a month in a house with walls that bleed and have mysterious ghost children? Or would you rather spend the night in a house that could take a piece of your soul and keep it?
The bleeding and children ghosts.
Yeah, that's the correct answer.
Yeah, because that was September House, right?
Yes, it is.
And stealing your soul, is that we used to live here?
That is the Spite House.
Ooh, okay. Ooh, that was such a good book. Okay, love it.
Yeah, yeah. The, like, doppelganger, other self being trapped in me going mad, wondering where half my soul is? Absolutely not. I'll play with the child ghosts for a whole month, the entire month of September.
I will not complain one bit.
I'm cool with it. This one is not very helpful, because it's kind of the same question twice. Or the same scenario twice. Would you rather be a part of a space salvage crew that stumbles upon a wreck, or be a caretaker of a spaceship where the bodies of people who have been cryogenically frozen are all around?
I would have to say caretaker, because even though it's creepy that you're around dead bodies, you at least technically know what you're getting into, right? Because, like, you're just going to be creeped out around these bodies. I don't know what's going to be on that ship that I have to salvage. So, no, thank you.
That's fair.
Hard pass.
There's more money in space salvage, so I'm going to be on the crew.
That is true. Like, money comes into it, but that's also you have to live to get the money.
I believe in myself.
I think you could live. You could be a final girl. You are a final girl.
You're a final girl. That's the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me. Would you rather your horror villain clown live in the sewer or in a cornfield?
Can I say either? Because I'm never in either.
Well, like, it doesn't matter.
Cornfield, because I'm in Arizona and the only cornfields are in that one place that pops up once a year. So I'm good. Thanks.
Do you have a floating town that only pops up? What do you mean?
So every year there's a fear farm is what they call it. I don't know if that's like a franchise.
Like, I understand that corn is not a crop in Arizona, but
No, they just have, like, part one of the things you can go into is a corn maze, and, like, you know, people are dressed up, so that's the only place you'd probably be. So I would take that instead of, like, waking up at, like, the middle of the night to find a clown's head in my toilet. I would really rather not.
Yeah. I don't have a good answer, because
you're kind of screwed either way.
I am
you're in the Midwest.
Right next to a cornfield. Yeah. So
Oh, yeah. What would you choose? Because both answers suck for you. Like, I just imagine that clown, like, almost like a scarecrow where it's just, like, every time you turn your back, it's moving.
Sewer.
Interesting.
No, because that, the, like, red light, green light, cornfield clown, absolutely not.
That's the episode of the title. That's the title of the episode.
Ugh. That's, no.
Duh. I know, that's really gross.
I'm gonna have a nightmare. Alrighty. Would you rather go on a girls' trip where the host might be a zombie, or return home to the cult you escaped from to watch your best friend marry your ex?
I love it, because I know both of these books are.
This is the Rachel Harrison portion of the...
It is. Do I get powers in the second one?
I don't... Maybe. You might. You find out some earth-shattering news.
I think I have to go friend a zombie. We're going on a trip.
Really? That surprises me.
Yeah, I think so. One, because I want to stay in that hotel because it sounded so cool.
Yeah.
And two, because I feel like that could just be our own good for her, you know, and my friend could just, you know, I could help her eat people.
Yeah.
That, like, deserved it, you know?
Yeah.
What are you choosing?
Because I know what happens in the book, I'm going return home for the wedding.
See, that was the thing where it was like, because of that, like,
you find out some earth-shattering news.
I am leaning towards that because that could be fun, but say that I'm not supposed to know that, I would have to go with the other one.
I can't tell you what happens because it'll spoil the book for everyone listening. And this is The Return and Black Sheep by Rachel Harrison.
Yes. Which, honestly, I so recommend only going into Black Sheep with what Laura told you of.
No, nothing.
You go back home.
You're going home to a cult. Your mom doesn't hug you enough.
And that's it. That's all you need to know.
That's it.
Because there's a part where I got, where you find out, and I was like, what? Did I read Did I read that wrong? It was very fun.
Yep. And my last one is very generic. Would you rather be vampire besties or werewolf besties?
Vampire.
Yeah, 1,000%. Easy. Done. Vampire forever.
Vampire forever. I'm surprised none of this had to do with eyes. Actually, maybe I'm not.
Maybe so I'm not. One of the questions was, like, would you rather just eat skin off an arm, or would you rather eat an eyeball? But that's disgusting.
Yeah, dude, that was wild how that was depicted in that first one. That was crazy.
The chewing. La, 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 la.
I would just say the act of biting someone's skin off, how it happened. So I think I'd have to go with eyes, I guess. Even though that makes me want to gag too. Neither of those are good. I don't like
none of it is. None of it is. Right. And that's why I took it out. Because I was like, that's icky.
That's really icky. That's a lose-lose.
Here I am asking you anyway.
What would you pick?
I really don't know. Can I cook the arm skin? Is someone going to tell me it's arm skin?
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. Because, like, how are you going about getting it?
Do I know
it?
It's like, human?
Is it, like, yes. Is it, like, how it happened in the book where you're just, like, chomping on the arm? Or is it... Ugh. God. You went to the grocery store and somehow by mistake got human skin and ate it for some reason. Like, I don't know. How is it procured?
I don't know. I don't want to know.
How did you get your arm skin?
Where did... Ugh.
Is it organic?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, cool. Sick. That's really gross.
All right, change the subject. Take it away. What's on your TBR?
Oh, yes. So many good ones. So many good horror books that are out or about to be out. And I know we've talked about this before, but it's just so interesting to see the themes kind of be carried out. And I guess not really interesting because there's a... I mean, it is, but not a good reason because it's, you know, when people's rights are taken away, we write really weird horror books about it to try to cope. Yeah. And one of those, which I know we talked about, that we both recently bought, is This Is My Body by Lindsay King Miller. Very excited for this one. I kind of came across it randomly and then in my dumb brain just forgot about it until I went to Barnes & Noble and was like, oh, hey, I remember seeing this one and I remember it sounding good. I am a sucker for possession stories.
Oh, so, I love an exorcism. Yes,
me too. Love exorcisms. I don't think there's a hot priest, unfortunately, for us.
Wah, wah.
So we have to get by. Anyways, this one So the synopsis of this, single gay mom Bridget always thought that cutting ties with her extremist Catholic family was the best thing she could have done for her daughter, Dylan, and for herself. But when Dylan starts having terrifying fits of unnatural violence, Bridget can't shake her memories of a girl from her childhood who behaved the same way until Bridget's uncle, Father Angus, performed an exorcism. Convinced that her daughter is suffering from demonic possession, Bridget does the thing she told herself she would never do, and she goes home. Father Angus is the worst person she knows, but he is also the only person who can help her daughter. But as Bridget starts to uncover secrets about Father Angus, that long ago exorcism, and her family's past, she realizes that she and Dylan may have never been in more danger. So, very much religious trauma, body horror, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff happening.
I'm very excited for that one. I hadn't heard of it until you sent me the synopsis, and then I was like, well, off I go to the bookstore. I was going to go get something on my list anyway, and I was like, well, por qué no los dos? And so I got los dos.
Got it. I am very curious about how we jump, because like one thing that doesn't totally make sense, at least reading the synopsis, so I'm curious to learn more, is like she cuts ties but then immediately thinks her daughter is possessed. So I'm wondering how that works and like how we get into her maybe thinking
that. I'm assuming flies come out of her mouth.
I would have to. I mean, that in her head spun a little too far and she spider walked down the stairs.
Right.
So, yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited for this one.
on the theme of, not religious, but religious horror, do you remember when we talked about, did we talk about Schrader's Chord on here? You did.
I did, yes.
You talked about it in an episode. So, I read that book and have since been like, rock horror is my new.
Can I guess what it is? Because I think it's on my list. Is it Hot Wax?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's My Ex the Antichrist by Craig DeLuey. Duh.
Okay.
And I went and picked this up the day it came out, and I haven't read it yet, but I'm very excited to get to it. We all have bad exes. Lily Lawler's just happens to be the Antichrist. Sometimes love can be hell. In 1998, a punk band is formed by Lily Lawler and Drake Morgan. Drake inspires faith in some and fear in others, and Lily is a believer. 1999. A battle of the bands ends in a shocking death in a riot that claims the lives of three teenagers. 2009. At the height of her stardom, Lily walks into a police station and confesses to murder. Now, the band has refused to talk to the press about the night of the riot, Lily's confession, or anything else. It's been over a decade, but Lily has finally agreed to an interview. And the band is following her lead. What follows is a story of prophecy, death, and apocalypse. A story about love and love lost. A story about the Antichrist. Maybe it's all true. Maybe none of it is. Either way, this is their story, and they're sticking to it.
That sounds really good. You're going to have to let me know, because this Craig DeLuey is the one who wrote episode 13, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'd be very curious, because I love how he tells stories.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to give it a go. I do think it sounds like it would be really good on audio, because it sounds like, it's like them giving interviews and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know that to be true, but I feel it
that
in my bones.
That does sound really good. Yeah. I like that a lot. Okay, well then speaking of, it's so funny because like I recommended Traitor's Court and I haven't even read it yet. Still. So
you should. It's great.
Tour. I was going to ask you, did you like it? Was it good? Yeah.
I did. Okay. I liked it a lot.
Perfect. All right. Well, speaking of, since I let one slip too soon, ooh, there's a longer synopsis. This is fun because I didn't know what it was about. That's Hot Wax by ML Rio. I got an arc of this. So this is ML out Rio. Now. If We Were Villains and Graveyard Shift.
Graveyard Shift.
Yeah. So this is... The cover looks like it was supposed to be rock music, so we'll see if I'm true. The synopsis that I got was, like, super small initially, and now this is a lot longer. So, summer 1989, 10-year-old Suzanne is drawn like a magnet to her father's forbidden world of electric guitars and tricked-out guitars. When her mother remarries, she jumps at the chance to tag along on the concert tour that just might be Gil and the Kills' wild ride to glory. But fame has sharper fangs than anybody realize, and as the band blazes up the charts, internal power struggles set Gil and his group on a collision course destined for a bloody reckoning, one shrouded in mystery and lore for decades to come. The only witness to a desperate act of violence, Suzanne spends the next 29 years trying to disappear. She trades the music and mayhem of her youth for the quiet of the suburbs and the company of her mild-mannered husband, Rob. But when her father's sudden death resurrects the troubled past she tried so hard to bury, she leaves it all behind and hits the road in search of answers, hitching her fate and Gil's beloved car to two vagabonds who call an old Airstream trailer home. She finds everything she thought she lost forever: desire, adventure, and the woman she once wanted to be. But Rob refuses to let her go. Determined to bring her back where she belongs, he chases her across the country and drives her to a desperation all her own. So we'll see what this is, how it works, how it goes.
Yeah, it sounds like there's going to be some musical influence. Again, that's another one where that was a lot of words, but I don't know what that book is about.
I know, me either. Even with that extended one, I'm not totally sure. Mm. So I guess we'll find out.
We're going on a journey. And we're going to see an Airstream. And that's what I know.
Yes, and I'm
And I assuming, really liked Graveyard Shift.
Yeah, that was good.
So I would be interested to give that a go.
I need to still read If We Were Villains, because I hear such good things about that one, too.
I don't really know anything about that one.
I think from what I know, it's kind of somewhat in the vein of A Secret History, but I think it's narrated by a kid who is confessing to murder. And it's talking about how his, something to do with him and the theater kids in a play or something. Mm. I guess. Everyone loves
also
it.
Also into so. That. Yeah.
What is your next one?
My next one is We Are Always Tender With Our Dead by Eric LaRocca.
Ooh, okay.
He has several books out, but I haven't read any of them yet.
Same.
The lives of those residing in the isolated town of Burnt Sparrow, New Hampshire, are forever altered after three faceless entities arrive on Christmas morning to perform a brutal act of violence, a senseless tragedy that can never be undone. While the townspeople grieve their losses and grapple with the aftermath of the attack, a young teenage boy named Rupert Cromwell is forced to confront the painful realities of his family situation. Once relationships become intertwined and more carnage ensues as a result of the massacre, the town residents quickly learn that true retribution is futile. Cruelty is earned, and certain thresholds must never be crossed, no matter what. Engrossing, atmospheric, and unsettling, this is a devastating story of a small New England community rocked by an unforgivable act of violence. The writing will leave you chilled to the bone and wanting more. And this is part of a series, so I'm excited about that. I've only heard good things about Eric LaRocca's writing. Mm-hmm. And this is transgressive literary horror, so it's going to be like deeper than a lot of the horror I read. But I am ready, and it sounds really good. And as soon as I heard about it, I was like, well, that's going on the list. I love a New England... Yeah, mm-hmm. I love a New England setting. Three faceless entities on Christmas. It's giving... What is the story? Jim Carrey did a cartoon of it.
It's so funny you went to Jim Carrey. I go to Scrooge with Bill Murray. Isn't it... It's not A Christmas Carol, is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
It's giving A Christmas Carol, but like real bad.
Like horror.
But like for the whole town.
For the whole town. Speaking of a whole town being terrorized, my next one I am so excited for. And I'm saying we're so excited. We're recording this in advance. Sorry to spoil the magic, but I just have to say September 9th is a phenomenal day for horror releases.
That's when that book comes out.
Okay, that's when my next one comes out. That's when Hot Wax comes out. And that's when Play Nice comes out. So it is our time to shine, horror fans. My next one is You Weren't Meant to Be Human by Andrew Joseph White. So obviously not a shocker to Laura, because we've been talking a lot about this book, which is billed as Alien meets Midsommar. Do you need to hear more?
No.
Truly. At all. This is a debut, and it's going to be weird and probably terrifying and unsettling. So This is opening line. Festering masses of worms and flies have taken root in dark corners across Appalachia.
I hate worms.
Yeah.
I hate worms.
Gross. Worms or flies? Which one are you pledging your allegiance to?
Flies. Why are worms so
I guess
wet?
If I had to pick.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like the way they move. I don't like the little lines on their bodies. I don't like that their butt is also their face. I don't like
it. And
they're
so long. So, Laura is staunchly anti-worm, in case you didn't know. Okay, so in exchange for unwavering loyalty and fresh corpses, these hives offer a few struggling humans salvation, a fresh start, and it's an offer that none refuse. Crane is grateful. Among his hive followers, Crane has found a chance to transition, to never speak again, to live a life that won't destroy him. He even met Levi, a handsome ex-marine and brutal killer who treats him like a real man, mostly. But when Levi gets Crane pregnant and the hive demands the child's birth no matter the cost, Crane's desperation to make it stop will drive the community that saved him into a devastating spiral that can only end in blood. So it is going to be a lot. It is going to be quite a bit.
It sounds icky, and I'm going to read it, but also,
yes.
Yuck.
No, this is one where it's like, I don't think we can eat while reading this. I think you have to be in a certain mindset. It's going to be intense, and I am very, very curious to... I'm excited to read it.
Yes. But
it's
also...
It's going to be disturbing.
No.
I'm sure there's going to be about, like, 50 new fears that we find out while reading this that we didn't previously
Bugs
have.
Bugs are not my thing. It's not my kind of horror. I don't enjoy it.
You don't enjoy bug horror?
No.
That's not even a thing, but it probably should be.
It is a thing. It's a thing. And
it's a thing.
Yucky. Yes, I will read it, but I'm scared. And that's the point.
Maybe that's why we buddy read this. We have to read this one together so we can, like,
because I'm scared.
Because I'm scared.
My next pick is The Devouring Light by Kat Ellis. It's billed as Clown in a Cornfield Meets the Cabin.
Okay, we have to explain why we're laughing at this point, because we had to re-record this part because Laura's boyfriend just scared the ever-loving hell out of her in the middle of her reading the synopsis.
My headphones are noise-canceling, and I was reading the synopsis, and he put... he's a lovely man. He put a pumpkin spice latte in front of me, but I didn't know that he was here. And I screamed at the top of my lungs. And now I cannot get it back together. Oh, Christ.
Oh,
okay.
God, that was good.
Ahem. Anyway. When Hayden Romero and her rival, Deacon Rex...
I still can't do it.
All right. Hayden and her rival, Deacon, alongside their bands, including Hayden's ex, Cairo, are stranded on their way to a rock festival. She thinks missing the gig is the worst thing that could happen. She's wrong.
The worst thing that can happen is her boyfriend brings her a treat.
Her boyfriend brings her a treat, and she has on her noise-canceling headphones. She doesn't see him, and then she has a stroke. Marooned in treacherous swamplands with no way out, the group stumbles upon an eerie, decaying house. It seems like a safe haven, a place to wait out the storm. The house, however, isn't just abandoned, it's been waiting for them.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bodies begin to pile up, the walls start to close in, and twisted secrets come out. Unless Hayden and the others can survive long enough to escape, the house will claim them forever.
Bum, bum, bum.
So, it's giving Survive the Night, which is a video game where you have to survive the night.
Oh,
and they
the
also,
movie?
Yes.
I
so
love
they made a
the
movie.
Movie.
Yeah, they made a movie out of it. The movie was fine, except for the part where they explode after drinking water because that's stupid and it doesn't happen.
Hot take. You heard it here first, guys.
Yeah. So, yeah, this just sounds like fun, classic YA horror, and I'm pretty pumped about it. I have a copy. It comes out in October.
That sounds fun. I do. Yeah, I agree. I think we need more good YA horror.
Yeah, just list. Sometimes it doesn't need to be, you know, sacrifice your neighbor to the worm god. Sometimes it can be.
Even though that sounds very appealing. My next one, I know you are very, very, very excited to read.
This is The Possession of Albedias.
No, but we just might as well put that as a disclaimer that we're probably both reading that as well. No, it is it is Spread Me by Sarah Gamey.
Oh, God. I hate the title so much.
It's so exciting. I
hate it.
And it's a darkly seductive tale.
And Sarah Gamey is such a weirdo. Like, her first book was so weird. It was great. Like, don't get me wrong. I liked it. But, ugh. And then I heard somebody talking about this book, and they're like, wow, it's really horny. And I was just like, ugh. No. And I have it on audio, and I'm going to listen to this on audio in my car in traffic.
But it's going to be great because Exie Sands is narrating it. Her and Sarah Gamey are just like two peas in a pod, and I'm so excited for this. Yeah. She also announced that her next book that comes out next year, it's like a cult book, and no one is going to be able to write a cult book like she can, and I'm so terrified and so excited. It's going to be so weird. Okay, so this one, Kinsey has the perfect job as the team lead in a remote research outpost. She loves the solitude and the way the desert keeps her far away from the temptations teeming out of the civilian world. When her crew discovers a mysterious specimen buried deep in the sand, Kinsey breaks quarantine and brings it into the lab, but the longer it's inside, the more her carefully controlled life begins to unravel. Temptation has found her after all, and it can't be ignored any longer. One by one, Kinsey's team realizes the thing they're studying is in search of a new host, and one of them is the perfect candidate. Bum, bum, bum.
Okay, so it's not just worms. It's like parasite. It's slithery things that want to live inside you that I just... Yeah. I don't like it.
I can't wait to read this together and, like, have a debrief session of how it was.
Oh, yuck.
Because you've been so excited for it, I know.
I am excited for it.
It's 208 pages. So that's going to be a quick listen.
Yeah, it's almost a novella, but I am excited for it. I just know I'm going to get the ick.
Probably.
But that's the whole point.
That is the point.
I Search hate the, ick. The title. Spread I hated me. The title Spread the Spread Me by Sarah Gamey. I saw it. I hate the title. I love Sarah Gamey because I, too, am a weirdo, but I hate the title.
I need to still read. Speaking of Sarah Gamey, I think my first one by her was The Echo Wife, which was really good. And then because of that, I bought Magic for Liars. And I still haven't read it, but I'm sure that's good too.
Do I not know who Sarah Gamey is? Am I thinking of the wrong person?
No. Were you thinking of Just Like Home?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's the same author.
Okay. The gum monster person. Okay, perfect.
Yes, that that one. Uh-huh.
My next one, I know you've already read this, is 13 Months Haunted by Jimmy Giuliano.
Yes. Love it, love it, love it.
So I'm really into rock horror right now, and I'm really into nostalgia horror. Okay. So Jimmy Giuliano's first one, I believe, was set in the 90s. This one is set in the 2000s. Piper Lowry, a public library clerk in charge of liaising with the local middle school, can tell right away there's something strange about the new girl in eighth grade. Avery Wallace won't touch any kind of technology, not even the computers of the library, and her mother comes to school with her every day, refusing to leave her side, not even when Avery uses the restroom. And then there are the rumors, the whispers Piper hears from kids in the hallway and parents around Avery's mother is a witch.
Bum, bum, bum.
Her sister and father were killed by something supernatural. A strange virus killed them. Seeing how isolated and lonely Avery is, Piper befriends her, but quickly realizes it might just be the worst decision she's ever made, because there's something dark inside Avery Wallace, and it's spreading.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that this comparison will work out after I read it, but it's giving The Ring. Like, a disease spread through technology. 7 days. I'm so excited because The Ring is one of my favorite horror movies of all time. So yeah. I hope I'm right because I'm pretty excited about that. Don't tell me.
I won't tell you. I'll just say it's a really good book. I really enjoyed it. It was very fun.
I picked that up when I got something. This is my body.
Oh, okay. All right, my next one, which I'm very excited about, and the reason it's making my list longer is technically this is a sequel or a prequel, depending on how you want to look at it. It's We Love You, Bunny by Mona Awad, which is the sequel to Bunny. So instead of reading you the synopsis for We Love You, Bunny, we're just going to start with Bunny. So this is weird. It is definitely like an acid fever dream trip a la the Heathers. Yeah. It is very fun. So Samantha Heather Mackie couldn't be more of an outsider in her small, highly selective MFA program at New England's Warren University. A scholarship student who prefers the company of her dark imagination to that of most people, she is utterly repelled by the rest of her fiction writing cohort, a clique of unbearable twee rich girls who call each other Bunny and seem to move and speak as one. But everything changes when Samantha receives an invitation to the Bunny's fabled smut salon and finds herself inexplicably drawn to their front door, ditching her only friend Ava in the process. As Samantha plunges deeper and deeper into the Bunny sinister yet sashering world, beginning to take part in the ritualistic off-campus workshop where they conjure their monstrous creations, the edges of reality begin to blur. Soon her friendship with Ava and the Bunnies will be brought into a deadly collision. It's fun, it's culty, it's weird, and if you read it, I dare you to rewatch the trailer for Barbie, because all you're gonna hear is, instead of hey Barbie, it's hey Bunny, Bunny this, Bunny, and it's just, it will never separate in your mind ever, and it's really good. So go read it.
I remember everybody really liked Bunny, but I never read it.
It's definitely not for everyone. I mean, Mona Awad writes some really weird horror books, but they're just so fun and so different, and it's refreshing, and yeah, it's good. I definitely recommend anything she's written.
Yeah. I, in general, when people call something a fever dream, am like, because it oftentimes doesn't work out for me because I'm stupid and I can't follow. If you jump around like that, I'm just like, what happened? I'm here for the vibes and like, you're ruining them.
Yeah. It definitely took a second for me because I read this one with eyes and then I've read her other two audiobook. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely recommend for that point. I mean, if you can read Stephen Graham Jones, you can read Mona Awad.
But to be honest, I can always read Stephen Graham Jones.
So I would just say, like, if you can, you're fine. You're gonna be totally fine. You just have to pay attention.
Finish that series too.
Yeah, you do.
I think that's it for the list that I want to discuss. Anything else that I get to is stuff we've already talked about on the podcast. I feel like we just talked about Smile for the Cameras.
We did, yeah. So I didn't put that on my list, even though I do want to read that soon.
Yeah, but that's on my TBR. The Possession of Alpha Diaz is on my TBR.
Shocker, shocker, shocker.
Alchemized is on my TBR, but I probably wait until November to get to that. These are my rapid fire. We've already discussed these. And then, obviously, Play Nice. Every year, I wait for Rachel Harrison month, and
yes,
that is September.
And it's glorious.
Most of the
We're
time.
We're so close. So close. I do have one more that I want to read. And I don't know if you read this author's first book. And if you didn't, you should, because it was so good. And that's The Invocations by Crystal Sutherland. She's the one who wrote House of Hollow.
No, I have House of Hollow, but I have not read it. Because I
very, suck. Very, very fun. So this one, Zara Jones believes in magic because the alternative is too painful to consider. That her murdered sister is gone forever and there's nothing she can do about it. Rather than grieving and move on, Zara decides that she will do whatever it takes to claw her sister back from the grave, even trading in the occult. Jude Wolfe may be the daughter of a billionaire, but she is also undeniably cursed. After a deal with a demon went horribly wrong, her soul has been slowly turning necrotic. It's a miserable existence marred by pain, sickness, and monstrous things that taunt her in the night. Now she's glimpsed what lives beyond the veil. Jude's desperate to find someone to undo the damage she's done to herself. Enter Immer Byrne, an orphaned witch with a dark past and a deadly power, aka the solution to both Zara and Jude's problems. Though Immer lives in a hard scrabble life, she gives away her most valuable asset, her invocations, to women in desperate situations who are willing to sacrifice a piece of their soul in exchange for a scrap of power. Zara and Jude are willing, but they first have to find her. When Immer's clients start turning up dead all over London, a vital clue leads Zara and Jude right to her. If a serial killer is targeting her clients, Immer wants to know why and to stop them. She strikes a tenuous alliance with Zara and Jude to hunt the killer before they are next on his list, even if she can't give them in return what Zara and Jude want most, a sister and a soul.
That sounds really good.
Yeah, I'm assuming, I mean, I loved, again, House of Hollow. It was so good, so this, I'm assuming, is going to be also amazing. And that one's already out.
Pumped.
It's going to be a good reading month.
All of mine will be out. I do think The Devouring Light comes out October 7th. So I don't know when perfect. This comes out, but that'll be out shortly after. And everything else is either already out or comes out in September. So they're all available.
All available. Get ready, guys. It's our time to shine. We want to know what you're reading too. So one, read Slewfoot with us and let us know what you're going to be reading for spooky season, because our TBRs are not big enough. So
yeah, I got audiobook time. I'm back in the office 5 days a week. So
oh dear God. So fill up Laura's TBR in her time with some good recommendations.
Yeah. I'm in the car 2.5 hours a day. Hit me up with your best audiobook recommendations.
And you can send those to Plot Twists I Forgot on Instagram. And you can also find both of our individual Instagram handles in the show notes below. And when we see you in 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about some witchy stuff. So stay tuned.
Bye. See you soon. Bye.